detective stories are more than 25 centuries old.
No one knows why the strings on Paganini's violin broke.
Twin brothers suffer identical accidents 1 week apart.
Can you imagine that? Yes, friends, this is Lindsay McCary, and I'm back with my cohorts once more on your station to prove those statements in just 1.5 minutes. Will you wait for us? Thank you. Be your guess as to the oldest detective story in the world. Well, I think I've found it. At least I'll challenge anyone to find an older detective story. One of the books of the Apocrypha in the original King James Version of the Bible is entitled The History of the Destruction of Bel and the Dragon. And in this book, I believe you'll find the oldest detective story in the world. We're going to dramatize it for you, and here it is.
Now the Babylonians had an idol called Bel, and they were spent upon him every day 12 great measures of fine flour, and 40 sheep, and 6 vessels of wine. And the king worshipped it, but Daniel worshipped his own god, and said unto the king,
O king, be not deceived, for this is but clay within, and brass without, and did never eat or drink anything.
What sayest thou? Ho, my priests, come hither! Ye priests of Babylon, if ye tell me not who this is that devoureth these expenses, ye shall die. But if ye can certify me that Bel devoureth them, then Daniel shall die, for he hath spoken blasphemy against Bel. What sayest thou, Daniel?
Let it be according to thy word.
Come then to the temple of Bel.
Then said the high priest of Bel,
Lo, we go out, but thou, O king, set on the meat, and make ready the wine, and shut the door fast, and seal it with thine own signet. And tomorrow, when thou comest in, if thou findest not that Bel hath eaten up all, we will suffer death, or else Daniel, that speaketh falsely against us.
So when they were gone forth, the king set meats before Bel. Now Daniel had commanded his servants to bring ashes, and those they strewed throughout all the temple in the presence of the king alone. Then they went out and shut the door and sealed it with the king's signet, and so departed. In the morning betime,
Lo, seest thou, Daniel? The meats and the wine are gone. Great art thou, O Bel, and with thee is no deceit at all.
Hold, O king, enter not the temple. Seest thou upon the floor where my servants have strewed the ashes? Behold now the pavement. And mark well, whose footsteps are these?
I see the footsteps of men, women, and children. Ye priests, what mean these footsteps?
O king, forgive us, for we have sinned against thee.
What meanest thou, priest?
See, we have made under the table a secret door. Through this door we have made entry by night. We, our wives, and our children, we have eaten of the meats and drunk of the wine thou hast set before Bel.
Then ye false priests, ye shall die!
Thus, by spreading ashes on the floor of the temple, Daniel proved the hoax perpetrated by the priests of Bel and saved his own life. And ladies and gentlemen, I maintain this is the oldest detective story in the world, for it happened 6 centuries before the birth of Christ. Happenstance always makes for a good news story. And here's one I found in a newspaper of 1910, which contains the paradoxical elements of both tragedy and joy. On December 29th, 1909, just 4 days after Christmas, Joseph Bremen, 24 years of age, a brakeman on the New Haven Railroad, dashed into his home on West 29th Street.
Mother! Mother, where are you?
Here, Joe, in the kitchen. What? Why, Joe, what's the matter?
Mother, you'll have to come with me right away.
It's Ed.
Yes, Mother. Ed just fell off a moving freight at 31st and 11th Avenue.
Oh.
He's been taken to hospital. The doc at the yard said he wasn't hurt bad, though.
Well, I'll come. Wait till I get my coat. Just a minute.
Thus did Joseph Bremen report to his mother the injury to his twin brother. Hurriedly, mother and son went to the hospital.
Oh, I just couldn't stand it, Joe, if something happened to Ed. Just think, your own twin brother.
Sure, I know, Mother. It'd be tough on me, too. But Ed's going to be all right. You just... Oh. Yes, Doctor?
You must be brave, Mrs. Bremen.
Ed?
Yes. He died just a moment ago.
No. Oh, no. No.
And through the death of Edward Bremen, the precious love of that mother for her twin sons was broken asunder. Exactly 1 week later, on January 4th, 1910...
Just a moment, please. Oh, yes?
Mrs. Bremen?
Yes?
Just a block away from where Ed fell last week at 32nd Street and 11th Avenue.
Not Joe.
Yeah, but he fell into a snowdrift, Mrs. Bremen. He's all right.
No. No, that's what they said about Ed. They said Ed would be all right, too. Take me to Joe! Take me to him!
Of course, it was natural that Mother Bremen should discount the reassurance. But when she arrived at the hospital, she found Joe only slightly injured. Later, he recovered from his fall off the top of a moving freight car just one block from the spot where his brother had taken an identical but fatal plunge exactly 1 week before. Can you imagine that? One of the strangest, most spectacular figures in all the vast realm of musical history was the Genoese violinist Niccolo Paganini. Tall, gaunt, the ghastly pallor of his hollow cheeks framing the steely flash of his sunken eyes, Paganini became a veritable legend of mystery during the early 19th century. Throughout Europe, the spectral figure, draped weirdly in ill-fitting old black garments, became a familiar sight as he strode violently to the center of concert stages and with a whip of his bow enticed audiences everywhere with the gorgeous wizardry of music from his beloved violin, a priceless Guarnerius. A complete chronicle of his bizarre antics would fill volumes. Here are but a few.
At Verona, after his ability to play another's compositions had been challenged, Paganini played a difficult concerto, penned by the challenging composer, using a Malacca walking stick for a bow.
He once gave a concert using not a violin, but a wooden shoe strung with gut.
At Milan, he accepted another challenge and played a difficult concerto at first sight with all the strings of his violin purposely out of tune.
At Rome, Paganini and two other noted composers, Rossini and Meyerbeer, dressed as women during a carnival, and went about the streets begging.
He always purchased his clothes at second-hand shops.
When the King of Sardinia demanded an encore, the virtuoso retorted,
Paganini never repeats.
When King William IV of England desired a command performance, Paganini set a price of £1,000 sterling. The king thereupon offered half the amount. And, remarked the violinist,
under the conditions which the king seems to desire, he may hear me more favorably at one of my public concerts.
But Paganini's favorite stunt was playing a complete composition, sometimes even a series of numbers, on one string. Wherever he appeared, the strings on his violin would miraculously break, one by one, until only a single string remained, and Paganini would always complete his selection. He became noted for this peculiar ability, to play the most difficult concerto with three strings of his violin dangling down before an amazed audience. This occurred so often that critics speculated as to whether or not Paganini carried a small knife concealed in his hand so that he could cut the strings. To this day, two Paganini mysteries still persist.
What was this strange secret of virtuosity of which he continually boasted?
Why did three strings on his violin always break in the middle of his concerts?
And no one up to the present has satisfactorily answered either question. Can you imagine that? One of Paganini's compositions, which he always played on only one string, was Variations on a Theme from Rossini's Moses in Egypt. You're going to hear it now, played only on the G string, by the talented young concertmaster of our orchestra, Misha Russell. ¶¶ once more, friends, after another session of Can You Imagine That, this is Lindsay McCarry taking pleasure in turning you over to your own announcer, but regretting that he must say goodbye now.